Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Do you get that Friday feeling, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Arsenal took a huge step towards that fourth spot, and Rangers march on in the Europa League. It's Friday, 25th of February. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Tim Campbell.
And I'm Pete.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you here. Pete Donaldson, to give the full name. I didn't give you enough room there, Peter.
No,
I'm sorry.
I've been renamed to Pete like Zendaya.
Yes.
Pele.
Hitler. What?
What a start.
What
okay.
a start. Yeah. Let's get right into it, guys.
Let's
Come
get
on.
Right into it.
Busy show.
I genuinely was going to say Rivaldo before
okay,
you said
cool.
that.
Okay, cool. Fine.
And I think everyone regrets me being just a bit slow off the mark. So
you're sluggish on a Friday.
Time
Come on, Marcus.
Today. Oh, my goodness.
Not the weekend yet.
We're not, but I think we've got the key to the weekend, don't you, Jim? We stood by the gate and everybody
we're
is...
waving it around going, look what we've got, everyone. We're about to open the doors to the weekend, and they're saying, well, hurry up and do it. I'm looking forward to this weekend. There's a lot of great football matches taking place.
It is, but we've got a lot of great chat to say before
that. Hold tight, guys. Come on.
Yes, let us get through this and then we can all run to the weekend together.
So many analogies.
Yeah, I'm a bit lost.
We've got the tickets to the Fire Festival.
Where are we physically going somewhere? I'm lost now.
Jim, just hang on.
Right.
Just okay.
keep grabbing your thighs and hope for the best, okay?
Okay, good.
Now, where to begin?
I know where to begin, Marcus.
Yes.
Those of the blue persuasion in Glasgow will be thinking, surely, well, Jim Campbell's here.
Yes,
and he's just about. And he's having a lovely old time. And so we're going to start with Arsenal 2, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1. Arsenal, a dramatic comeback right at the end. Jim Campbell, you were there.
I was.
You're still fully aroused. Talk us through it.
I have not had an adrenaline hit that big in
since
genuinely years. I don't know since Napoli, possibly,
Pete and I were there.
Yeah, that was a last minute winner as well in Naples. Yeah. That was amazing.
Two late goals.
But I honestly got home, obviously had to do some prep for the show, watch highlights of other games, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. I couldn't read. I couldn't concentrate. My head was throbbing with adrenaline. Mm. I just had to sit there and just deal with it. It was fantastic.
Yeah,
it was so great.
It does take it out of you.
It really does.
I do know what you mean. I remember watching, you know, the famous, Aguero goal, Man City and QPR and so on in a pub in West London. There was a lot of QPR fans in there, and of course they survived that day. But because of this, the intensity of the whole thing, I remember, I have no vested interest. You just get caught up in it. I remember leaving the pub feeling groggy and just thinking, blimey, I need a little lie down.
It's how I imagine Lewis Hamilton feels like after
a race. Yeah. God, the opposite of the overdraft of a race like that. Yeah, you off your feet for days. But it was
spraying champagne around the flat.
You beat Wolves 2-1, Jim, on your little balcony covering North London.
But you played your part, obviously,
I did.
Jim. But
as
Arsenal,
you can hear in my voice.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. But Arsenal were good. You know, that we've seen this grit and determination from them.
Yeah.
And it does seem that the fans are thinking, hang on, we've got something.
The atmosphere in the stadium is markedly different this year. And there are still frustrations coming out, but they tend to be at the opposition for time wasting. That seems to be where the anxiety is coming out. And
Did you catch up with Arsenal fan TV today?
I did not, no. This is the first time Arsenal have won after trailing at halftime under Arteta, which is a huge bit of progress, and people might say it's a bit, you know, it's taken a while, but obviously it is a young team, so I think you kind of caveat that there as well.
Yeah.
So that's a huge step forward. It's an important thing to show this team that they can do that.
Yeah.
And they did keep going. Now, actually, they were quite sloppy for large periods of the first section of the first half and the first section of the second half as well. They couldn't quite find their rhythm, misplaced passes here and there, but they kept going and they kept rebuilding. They kept being patient, kept just trying to score.
Odegaard started pulling the strings.
Yeah, he did. And the first goal, it wasn't quite a gift, but it was certainly a voucher. And that's a nightmare, because Arsenal are in a situation now where the squad is quite small, so the margins for error are very small if they're going to sort of push on and do it as well as they can. So you've got to cut that out as much as possible. So to overdo it, overturn it rather, was fantastic. And Wolves are a difficult team to play against.
Oh my goodness, they're airtight at the moment.
They are. Ruben Neves said he was disappointed with how they played, but I thought they were really good. They were a nightmare because they keep their shape really, really well.
They
harry you away from any areas of danger. So much of the game, especially in the first half, was Ben White and Gabriel just passing between each other, trying to kind of figure out how to get out. And also, so much of any team's attacking game is pouncing on mistakes that the opposition players make, and they just don't make any.
Yeah.
They're just very, very disciplined.
Well, and obviously they pounced on the mistake from Gabriel.
Well, absolutely, So it's a very impressive win. You can see why they haven't, why Wolves, you know, are where they are and they haven't conceded many goals this season. But I think this potentially, it could be a sliding doors moment for Arsenal, because obviously it puts them a little bit ahead of Wolves. They capitalise on the fact that Spurs lost as well. They've got some games in hands. It gives them the opportunity to pull away a little bit, whereas otherwise it would have sucked them in. Also, as much as I love Lacazette, he will be upgraded in the summer, and you know, each result
physically
upgraded. Yeah, that's what we're going to do, rather than give him a new contract.
Take
and
him
a new
to that
skeleton.
So you're saying the better he plays, the less he's going to play next season?
Essentially, yeah. Well, because if Arsenal finish in the Champions League or the Europa League, right, or out of Europe, you know, anything can happen at this point, depending on the run in the season. I mean, where they finish will surely affect the quality of the striker coming
it
in, potentially.
You're absolutely right. And in the Champions League, you know, he hasn't scored since Boxing Day. And obviously, the winning goal was given to José Sarr rather than Lacazette, which apparently Lee Dixon commented on that, saying the game's gone daft. which
what does he mean by that?
I think
it wasn't going in and then it went in. So
I think that he has talked himself out of ever being on the dubious goals panel, which is somewhere I'd love to be, by the way. If anybody's in charge of that, get me on there. But I think that's probably what he means. But Nicola Pepe's goal, Peter, lovely bit of footwork.
Did he get player of the tournament at AFCON, I think, didn't he? Or something? He certainly played very well there.
That would have surprised me.
Yeah, I don't know if he did. He had a good tournament, though.
Right, sure. Well, he's basically reminded him that he's actually quite a good footballer.
Yeah, well,
you can't bring him on at that time. He has to start some matches, but good God, what an impact sub if he's going to do that every time.
Yeah, Arteta said that since he's got back from the AFCON, he's seen a different player. And that also that every player in the squad needs to play their part between now and the end of the season. And the bench looked a little bit light in terms of attacking options. But Nketiah came on and Pepe came on and Nketiah set up Pepe. And they both had a big, big impact and they looked motivated. And that is really, really key. And Pepe is an interesting one. We were saying at the game, actually, because of the way Wolves play and how disciplined they are and how difficult they are to break down.
So this was you on the terrace. Because of the way that Wolves play.
Yeah,
actually, genuinely.
You're just shouting that into the ether. Yeah. Right, okay.
I was singing it, obviously. But you need like an agent of chaos, essentially. And Pepe is that. Yeah. He's very, like, he will try and, you know, take it around four players when it looks like a mad thing to do and it won't work out. And then suddenly it has worked.
Can I say Arsenal's true agent of chaos in a sort of an emotional and team bonding sense is Aaron Ramsdale?
Right. Yeah.
Because I think there is a Swiss man who might qualify more as our true agent of chaos, but I know what you're saying.
He likes more of a enjoyable...
He falls foul of the game too much, I think. Of the rules of the game.
He's like
a Sims character. Isn't he?
That's more a sort of a literal kind of thing because...
Yeah. Ramsdale's a shithouse, isn't he?
But he's so
a great
good.
One.
I absolutely...
A lot
like,
of fun.
So much footage and photos of him, like, off... doing his own thing while the game's going on.
But he's just
got it. Because there was that time, not that long ago, was it at Leeds United when they hammered Leeds? And there he was, like, dancing like in front of the fans, the home fans. Yeah. And I remember Ian Wright tweeted that saying, oh, I really miss this from playing.
Don't miss any of the goals.
Absolutely.
I think it might have been Leicester, where you know that when a goalkeeper's about to take a goal kick and the crowd
yes.
Shit! But he punched the air as they did it.
Turned around.
He loves it.
Yeah. Joined in with them.
And of course, Arsenal have monetized this for their YouTube or whatever by bringing putting them in the fish and chip shop or something.
Yeah, that's right. They were advertising the fish and chip shop at the game yesterday as well. I don't know where this is coming from.
Someone's found a bit of cash, the fish and chip shop.
But yesterday, he, of course, there was a photo of him. Now, it could be of an angle or whatever.
I think it's a perspective thing.
True, but it looked like he was giving it some to Ruben Neves.
I mean, we've been linked with him in the summer. It looks unlikely now.
The best bit for me was when the Pepe goal went in. There's a ball boy just behind the goal, and he's slapping his knee, sat on his metal seat. Going, ah! He's like, just really like a mad whore down grandpa. Just like, come on! And Hwang nearly scored a second after his first. And it went just past the post. And I think he thought he'd put it in. And he planned on weirdly complaining to the linesman, realising that he didn't have much grounds for it because he hadn't put it in the net. And it was just a really confusing moment for everyone.
I think he went a corner, maybe. Because Ramsdale did get a touch on it.
Yeah, he did get a touch.
Oh, I thought he was complaining that it wasn't in the net. He's going, you didn't put it in the net, mate.
It went through one of the gaps. it turned into a tiny little ball. Yeah. Well, amazing scenes, though, at the Emirates.
And you've both been to the Emirates. You know how that atmosphere can be if the crowd are getting frustrated.
Seldom is it like that.
So different. No, but this season it has been different.
Well, I haven't been there.
The team have reconnected with the fans have reconnected with the team and vice versa, and it is just fantastic.
And Gabriel's just rolling back the years and going, remember the good remember when I used to do this every week? It's classic, like, right, I've got to do this pass. I've done the research, there's no player near me. I'll start to do the pass. Has anything changed? No need to check. I did the calculation 5 minutes ago. It's fine. Oh, there's someone there.
There we go.
Ah, nuts.
But he and Ben White, who also maybe could have been a bit quicker on that, have been fantastic this season. That was a rare mistake from them. But Gabriel was really, really...
Jim, I think the last time I was at the Emirates was when they got knocked out of the Europa League and it was...
Olympiakos?
Yeah. And what's his name's last game in charge of them?
Emery.
Yeah, I think that was the last time I went on.
So I promise you, mate, it's very different.
By the sounds of things, it's changed. Was the atmosphere, though, comparable to Ibrox last night?
I think it might be a stretch to claim that at this point.
Because blimey O'Reilly, you know, we know that the two teams in Glasgow can put on a show for big travelling European teams. Yes. And that last night was no exception. Our own McVish was up there. And I said to him, well, it wasn't a bad game to be at. And he just replied, I'm cooked. I'm absolutely, you know. But of course, it was Rangers 2, Dortmund 2, and Rangers go through 6-4 on aggregate. And I mean, just it was unbelievable at Ibrox, wasn't it? Yeah. It was one of those ones that every ball is contested by the crowd as well, you know.
Also as well, the commentary was really, really interesting because obviously it's very partisan and understandably so.
Bally McCoist was a neutral, was he not?
But every time sort of Rangers scored, even though they were never behind, they were always winning in that tie, weren't they?
No, well they went 2-1 down. When they went 2-1 down, it looked like, oh, hang on.
But every time it was like, Rangers have done it. It's like they've been doing it the whole time. It's like that sense of joy, of kind of wonder almost that this was happening at all, never left them. It was
great penalty. Imagine lashing home to Vernier, just lashing home that second.
Yeah.
How good that felt. Because it was a relatively easy shot.
Yeah.
And just putting your laces through it, point blank range, through the keeper, through the net.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that's lovely stuff, was it?
Slapping my leg.
Yeah. Well, was it one wing back to the other? I think maybe one cross to the other. I mean, that is just, that's how modern.
How very delightfully modern. Though that said, the Rangers kit, I very much like, and it reminds me of the Gazza granddad shirt collar with the logo in the centre sort of thing. I was like, I quite like that.
I do quite like the Rangers. The three colours, I've often talked about this, the three colours. I usually use Atletico Madrid as the template or the example, but also the little red trim on the black socks I thought was quite delightful.
Yeah.
But Tavernier, wonderful game. Jude Bellingham, rather, said post-match that it was a brilliant game to play. And he's a great interviewee.
Yeah.
Yes.
So young and just speaks from the heart, sometimes a little bit too much as a referee in Germany would certainly suggest.
But no, I don't know. That's, for me, that's not too much.
Well, I said for some, Jim. I didn't say for all.
Right, fair enough.
But Bellingham obviously got his goal. And in the first half, obviously Rangers went 1-0 up. And you thought to yourself, you know, with that home support, with the mood and the feeling, don't just make it a backs to the walls job for Rangers. And there was a danger of that. Obviously they go 1-0 up. But it was a little bit of a danger when Dortmund start coming forward and, you know, 40-year-old Alan McGregor making crucial saves as he does for Rangers played his part as well. But tactical switch by Van Bronckhorst at half-time, back three or back five, if you will. And it made all the difference. And Rangers looked dangerous. And that third goal that Rangers scored was obviously chalked off. Ridiculous decision.
Yeah.
I totally agreed with the guys in the commentary.
Yeah, McCoist made the point, didn't he? That essentially what happened was that the referee didn't see all the angles on VAR, and one of them makes it absolutely clear that goal should have stood.
Mm. I mean, it was utterly baffling because the goal was, he overturned the decision, which makes it even more stupid, I think. And then the referee I know we've seen that referee before, and he certainly likes the drama and the theatre of it all by the looks of it. But how he, if anything, it's a foul on Morelos, who's then carried on and played the advantage and then squared. I just so stupid, and I'm very glad Rangers went through because they didn't need it. But if they had needed it, my goodness, whew, deary me. Mention for Ryan Kent though, a constant thorn in Dortmund's side,
in both legs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
great. As in both games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He uses both of his legs to great effect.
But a very, very, very tricky, very skillful Peter. We like that. Yeah. Amazing scenes at Rangers, and I think as well that tactical change and showing the flexibility of what they've got. I think that makes it even more pleasing because if it is a backs to the walls job and they scrape through, yeah, that's great. But actually, the manner of the performance was very mature. It was very, very cultured, you could say, and they've knocked out the tournament favourites.
Yeah. So I mean, they're not going to fear anyone now.
No, I mean, the lineup, we'll get to that in just a second, but it's a pretty strong lineup in the Europa League. Before we mention that, in the Europa Conference League, of course, Celtic were beaten by Bodo Glimt.
Will that make Rangers' night better?
You know what?
Just a little bit.
It could do. It could do. But Celtic are top of the league still, so, you know, there's plenty to play
for. That's what makes you think. Like, did Celtic do better in Europe when they're being shit at home?
It is a strange one.
You can't have both.
You can't, maybe. I don't know. Nice to see Big Joe Hart making some good saves, though.
Yeah.
Always nice to see that, I think. Bodo Glimt's Twitter account before the game advised fans to bring a seat pad and some thick trousers because of the snow and obviously being a bit chilly in that part of the world.
I just think about that cross-country skier in China who got his willy
frozen.
Yeah. Frozen, yes. Oh, yeah. It's kind of a burn, isn't it?
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
How do you solve that?
Apparently it's Get it warm. When it thaws out, it's worse.
I hate to think we're with you, pal. Leicester are through. Beat Randers 3-1. Two lovely goals from James Maddison.
Mm. Yeah.
Come on. I tell you what, Randers missed a load of chances.
They did. Mm.
And I know Kasper Schmeichel gifted them one.
I think that's a little bit unfair, actually. It was a horrendous bobble on the pitch.
Was it a poor touch bobble?
I think
it was a bit unlucky.
Again, it's a voucher.
Oh, no, that's a gift. if it is a poor touch, it's a gift. But the thing is, for Schmeichel, he made some great saves. There was one in particular where he tipped over the bar, which was absolutely stunning. But Leicester are through, and Leicester, you know, could fancy this. I mean, one can be a bit sneery towards the Europa Conference League, but a European trophy is a European trophy, Peter, as any side who has won the Fairs Cup will testify to. Newcastle United fans, you're there. But nice to see Aubameyang scoring for Barcelona.
It genuinely is. Yeah. As I said on the show, I wish him well. It's a shame that things ended as they did, but he's hit the ground running, and good for him. People sneer at the Europa League. It is brilliant when it gets to this point.
Yes. Yeah.
It is fantastic.
We're all agreed. And we've got West Ham to come back into it, which we will enjoy. Before we move on from European football, it's understood that Champions League final will be moved away from St. Petersburg, of course, in light of events this week. UEFA are meeting this morning, but because it was due to be staged at the Gazprom Stadium. But it looks like it's going to be in Stade de France.
Yes. So
it could be in Paris. That's the word on the streets. The word on the mean streets of Bradford is that Mark Hughes has taken over as manager.
Yeah.
And I say the word, and it is official. News outlets are going with this, Jim. And so they've got Mansfield Town in League 2 this Saturday at 3 p.m. But yeah, Mark Hughes, he signed a contract until 2024. It's the first time he'll have managed a club side outside the Premier League, I believe.
Yeah.
It's quite a big one, this, old Hughes. We haven't seen him for a little while. Was it
I haven't seen Bradford City for a while.
Well, maybe we'll see both of them together
we'll
in a few years.
Maybe see him doing volleys into Shipley Beck. Look at this, lads. Look what I can do.
Yeah. Apparently, Hugh said, it is maybe a little bit of a surprise that I've come in, but do not be put off by that.
Yeah, it's
all reassuring.
The announcements, the tone of the announcement has been really, really strange because loads of people have been saying he's never managed outside the Premier League. Mm. But normally you get people like, oh, he's never managed in the Premier League.
Yeah.
For Mark Hughes, for some reason, it seems like a portent of doom.
I can't help but think that like Bradford City are kind of talking themselves out of getting anything out of this appointment because they're sort of going, holy shit! Yeah. Look what he must be confused.
Yeah. Well, they nearly missed it because it went into the junk mail.
What?
Of the Bradford, I think the Bradford chairman's.
Oh, what? So he applied for it? It wasn't.
Mark Hughes's management
people,
or his agent whoever it is. They got in touch.
Bark Hughes. Hello, Bark Hughes here. I'm Mark Hughes's agent and I'd very much like to manage Bradford. Thank you.
Do you want some crypto?
Is he in a crypto? Probably.
Just one of those emails.
Isn't it?
All know.
Yeah. Oh, dear. He hasn't managed a club since Southampton in 2018. Did you see that the now former manager of Bradford City, Derek Adams, said earlier this month that the club couldn't replace him with a more successful manager? And he was sacked 3 days later, and then there's Mark Hughes.
Yeah.
Because he has managed outside the Premier League, because he managed Wales.
Nice.
So, you see, just in case you're doing a pub quiz tonight, okay? Remember that. Adams has gone straight back into his previous job at Morecambe, though, who he left for Bradford in the summer. So, yeah, we shall see. But yes, Mark Hughes. League 2. Lovely old job. Excellent. All right. Let's have a quick break, everybody.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Have you ever wondered what happened to all those space-age promises that previous generations thought we'd have by now? You know, heading out for the day on your own personal flying cars or working on a space hotel somewhere in the far reaches of our solar system. Where are all those amazing inventions? Well, we're here to find out more on my new podcast, Where's My Jetpack? I'm Sarah Crudis, space expert, TV host and author. Join me and Luke Moore every week as we look into retrofuturistic tech that never was to decide whether it's still just science fiction or if some of these discoveries are actually a lot closer than you think.
I think we're very close to that happening on an even more regular basis. And what I think is interesting about that, too, is that's going to make the accessibility of getting to space available for more and more people.
So, if you've ever wondered whether we'll one day speak to aliens light years away, or you'll be flying to work on a jetpack, this is the podcast for you.
Think of the car parking spaces. They need to be massive, really wide.
No, the wings can fold up.
Well, they don't exist.
No, some of the cars which were designed had wings which folded up.
Are you happy getting in a plane knowing the wings fold up?
Yeah. Right. I trust engineering.
Trust the science.
Search Where's My Jetpack on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where's My Jetpack is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Yeah, maybe just once more about the Football Ramble. That'd be all right.
Hi, I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Martin Keown.
And we are the Football Ramble. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. All right, it's time for emails.
Solo.
That's Alex Pratt, of course. Any relation to David? We don't know.
Seems
could be his agent.
Could be.
You never know. Got a message from Matt. Hello, Matt. Thought he'd appreciate this very important Thizzer content.
Oh,
this
yeah.
week, in an interview with 90 Minutes, he said that he wants Inter Miami to be a proper football club. Here are some highlights from the interview. We got massive quality off the pitch in terms of the brand. Our new kit is, for me, one of the best kits I've ever seen. I can't wait to see the players walk out in it on a Saturday. So apart from the football side, everything else is brilliant. Now, we just need to get the football bit right.
That's the bit you're in charge of.
Yeah, that's the bit only you can influence.
Asked what the most exciting aspect of the new season was going to be, he said, not knowing what the results are going to be. It's like opening a pack of love hearts. It's like when your children go out and you let go of them. They move out, they go to college or university. You want them to prosper. You want them to perform. You want them to enjoy themselves. And that's how I feel about my boys.
That is a real turnaround from Fizzer, isn't it? Because not long ago, he was talking about how like he doesn't like the concept of friends. Do you remember? He didn't want his kids having friends over. He didn't want people infiltrating the unit on holiday. He didn't like them talking to strangers and stuff. But now he's happy to see them leave the nest. That's interesting.
It's good that he's turned around. Dad of the Year, 2022.
Is that your tip, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great thing about Dad of the Year. You never know
just
the result.
Give it to anyone. Just give it to anyone.
Just anyone. Yeah. Anybody. Oh, well, thank you very much for that, Matt. We do appreciate that. Show at footballramble.com is where you want to send us all that kind of nonsense or tweet us at footballramble. Now, gentlemen, this weekend on Sunday at 4:30, it's Chelsea versus Liverpool. It's the Carabao Cup final. It is the first cup final.
Snuck up, isn't it?
Of the... Yeah.
always does, to be honest.
It does. You're absolutely right.
I'm not. Aren't we doing FA Cup third round still?
Do you think it should be in March?
Yeah, but I mean,
campaign
there's a
for
lot of
Carabao in March.
It would kill the competition. No one would want to play in it.
I think they should do it before the FA Cup final.
Same
day. Double header. Yeah.
Wait until do it instead of the Charity Shield the next year.
That is the worst.
Nice.
That
thank
is,
you.
Yeah,
it is a nice idea. You waited there like that Kit Kat advert in the '80s. Do you remember where a terrible band comes and plays like this horrible music, and the industry mogul leans back in his big high back leather armchair and goes, "You're gonna be a star, kid," or something like that.
Oh, remember? I don't remember that.
Do you remember?
No.
He's had a Kit Kat.
I do like a Kit Kat.
Yeah, you do like a Kit Kat.
Oh, big time, big time. all right, so the Carabao Cup final instead of the Community Shield.
Moving on.
Gambino opening. Jurgen Klopp admitted that he got a little bit carried away with his celebrations after the win against Leeds because Liverpool was so dominant. Mm. Well, he's got a chance for a big old celebration because it could be his first domestic cup win as Liverpool manager, Jim. It's surprising
it
when
does
you,
seem strange,
you hear about
it?
That.
I love it when people try and like beat him with that stick. Like, yeah. Oh, you've won the Premier League and the Champions League. What else you done?
I mean, they were the main objectives.
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, obviously, it's been phenomenal with Klopp at Liverpool. But the one little criticism one could say, Pete, about it is that there hasn't been as much silverware.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, you compare him to, say, Guardiola at Manchester City. One would immediately go, but they haven't won the Champions League. And they'd be right to say that.
Yeah.
So, it's more of an observation rather than a criticism, I think. But they've got a chance to put it right against Chelsea, have they not?
Yeah,
I mean, they literally do.
But they said, was it Henderson saying this season that one cup a year, one bit of sort of wear a year is bare minimum for Liverpool now? Mm. And I completely agree. And I do like to think that they approach cup competitions in the right way. They're fun.
Yeah, but do you know what, though? Man United, Man City,
Liverpool.
Man City are
just boringly efficient, though. Yeah, I don't like it.
But the two Manchester clubs, Chelsea and Liverpool.
Yeah,
they, you know, they're the type. Still, Manchester United will say, "Well, one trophy's bare minimum." You think, "Well, there's only three domestic cups, lads."
Yeah, done. I'll have one.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's why one of them's in constant crisis, or one of them's always having a, you know,
it's
a
why
little meltdown.
Exactly. It's why Tottenham thought Europa Conference League is a good idea because you know they're not there, but neither are Spurs. Sadly, but you know, this is an interesting one because since last winning the League Cup in 2015, Chelsea have lost 8 of 9 domestic cup finals. We are including the Community Shield in that. That is surprising.
That is surprising, isn't it? They're in them so much that you don't even notice that they're not actually winning them.
Yeah, but I mean, Community Shield, does that, again, bringing back the Community Shield, does that count as a...
Well, but I mean, it's still, though, I mean, if you know, think of the cup finals. I mean, they lost one of them to Arsenal, Jim.
They did.
You know, lest we forget.
I did not forget.
But who do you fancy for this one? I mean, Ziyech and Kovacic's injuries are reportedly not serious, so they look like they're going to be involved. Big news for Liverpool, Diogo Jota, is on track to feature after responding well to treatment. I mean, it's an interesting time.
Yeah, I mean, you always... It's funny, isn't it? Chelsea still have that air of invincibility in a cup final, despite that stat you've just pulled out, that they've lost 8 of the last 9 finals. I do fancy Liverpool for this. I think they're purring at the moment.
Yeah.
And obviously, Chelsea are, in terms of teams that can blunt Liverpool, Chelsea fit that profile very well, but I just think they're too good at the moment.
Well, and with all this chat about Lukaku and so on and who's going to start and who's not, you know, it does look like Liverpool know what they're doing and Chelsea, there's a few kind of questions to answer there. Although, they could revert to a setup what they did in the Champions League final last
I mean, if
season.
You play Kai Havertz in a final, you start 1-0 up, don't you?
Indeed, yeah. There's something to be said for that. I mean, if you go on the league form, I mean, Liverpool have won the last 6, Chelsea have only won the last 2. I'd also like to put it to you, Jim, that if Arsenal win their game in hand on Chelsea, they go 2 points behind Chelsea, which is, I know there's a big if in there, but that is quite remarkable. It shows you how much Chelsea have dropped off because that top three was going to be
like
the top
title race, didn't it?
Yeah, it looked like a title race. Chelsea then dropped off, but you think, well, they've got third, surely. I still think they will finish third. But it shows you that Liverpool, certainly in the league, are... You know, they're 10 points above Chelsea. I know Chelsea got a game in hand, but much better. But as you say, it is a cup competition. Chelsea have been handed a boost, though. They were granted permission this week to wear the Club World Cup winner's badge for the rest of the Premier League season. Whereas Liverpool were denied permission in 2019. Does that add extra spice, Jim?
I mean...
Is that the kind of thing that football
like a flake of pepper? or like one chili flake.
Sometimes don't go overboard, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, eh? Calm yourself. They calm yourself.
Explosive.
Well, speaking of spicy things, lads, last week Craig Bellamy provided some valuable new information on how he ended up threatening to attack former Liverpool teammate John Arnerisa with a golf club back in 2007. I'm sure many people remember this. He did the celebration at the Nou Camp, I think it was, when he did the kind of the swing. And Craig Bellamy, we knew he was a fiery little nutter. And why would you attack John Arnerisa, who seems to be quite a calm kind of chap? But Bellamy has told his story about this, and he said, "We played golf in the morning with each other, and he was cheating. Robbie Fowler was playing with us, and I said to Robbie, 'He's cheating, you know.' Because I'd seen the ball go in the lake, he's picked one up, and he's gone, 'Oh, I found it.' We had a Christmas do, and he didn't go. He had to sing a song as a part of his fine, so I was like, 'You've got to sing.' But he was refusing, so my head was like, 'I've had enough of you, you're singing.' Reza told him to mind his own business. Bellamy explained that he and Steve Finnan were going to go back to their room at the end of the night. Not like that. And I was like, 'I'm not having this. I'm not accepting what he's done there.' So I got my club, as any normal, rational human being would." I've added that to the sentence. "And I went to his room." And if you think that is strange enough, this is where it really takes an odd turn. "I open the door, roll in. He's in bed. I smacked him across the legs and said, 'You ever speak to me like that in front of everyone, I will put this around your head.'"
Yeah.
He's a teammate, and you thought, "I'll hit him around the legs" yeah. "with a golf club."
And this is his explanation. This is his side of the story. This is, imagine how bad
you
reality
sing that
is.
Song.
Yeah. "I'm going to end your career." But like, this is actually, this is part of the beef, because Risa has said, like, he, you know, he was coming for me with a golf club. He was trying to hit me in the legs. If he like, and he was properly giving it to someone as well. It's like he could seriously injure me and do me some real damage there. Bellamy sort of refutes that, but he was the maniac swinging a golf club in the dark.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who are you going to believe there?
I presume that when he swung the golf club, they'd been playing golf immediately. No, he'd gone back to his room, presumably, because he didn't take his golf club to the party. Mm. And so
because he wouldn't sing, and he was rude to him about it.
Yeah, he was cheating at golf, and he didn't sing a karaoke song.
To be fair is the wrong term, but when Risa in this bit of the story where Risa had told Bellamy to mind his own business, I think he'd done that in some quite colourful language in front of a lot of people. But right. That certainly does not justify waking him up with a golf club.
I mean, look, are you trying to tell me that football teams, lots of men with a lot of testosterone, you know, there aren't fallings out, right? I'd say the vast majority don't resort to going and getting a golf club or any kind of thing like that. Maybe it happens more often than who knows? Who knows, everybody? But thank you to Craig for clarifying that, and to making us think that he's even more of a nutter than we thought. Leeds versus Spurs is on Saturday at 12:30. We've highlighted this one because it's an important game, both ends of the table. I say both ends. I mean, the race for top...
sections.
In two
sections. It's coming out both ends.
I mean, with Arsenal's win, Jim, I mean, Spurs need to win to sort of have any hope of finishing in the top four, although having lost four of the last three, as we know, it's not looking too good for them. They do have a game in hand now on Wolves, two on West Ham, but none on Arsenal. 6 points behind Arsenal. And of course, Wolves play West Ham, which is good news for Arsenal, because two of their rivals for that fourth spot, you know, neither of them can get, both can't get 3 points this week.
Absolutely. And also, you know, the three games in hand Arsenal have are Chelsea, Liverpool and Spurs away in what will be a very contentious game. So
yeah,
they need things to go their way still.
It's those, all to
those,
play for.
Those games in hand are not... no guarantee of anything.
Certainly not, yeah. So it's pretty tight there. But at the bottom of the league, it's getting pretty chock-a-block. And Leeds United are in a relegation scrap. There it is. It's official.
Yeah.
Them and Brentford, both terrible form in the league. I think they might be the worst in the league, and dropping like stones.
Well, Leeds, lost four of the last five. I mean, they're playing very poorly at the moment, and they've been beaten quite convincingly as well of late. But they're only 3 points above Burnley in 18th. And Burnley, Newcastle and Everton have games in hand. Games in hands against Leeds. So they play Tottenham Hotspur, both sides needing a win, of course. And have you seen, I mean, obviously there was all that chat about Antonio Conte's comments that he made recently were very interesting. Tim Sherwood, former Spurs manager, has told Antonio Conte that his interview after Spurs' defeat at Burnley was not a good look. He said,
"I've certainly inevitable, I know that much."
He said, "I've been there. I know what it's like. It doesn't matter what level you manage at. Your wins are unbelievable and your losses, well, it's like the end of the world. But that was not a good look."
Right.
Jim, what do you think?
I'm not sure it's helpful.
What? You're not sure Tim Sherwood's being helpful?
No, I'm not sure he's helpful getting stuck in there.
Okay. Well, apparently it was a rallying call to his players rather than a plan to resign with Conte's comments, which...
I think some of it does look like it was lost in translation a little bit.
Perhaps, yeah. I think he's... The funny thing is we always want people to be honest.
Yeah.
And then when they are, we go, oh, too far.
Exactly, right? Especially
because everyone's waiting for him to combust and give up. And, you know, everyone's waiting for him to walk away. I don't see this narrative with Spurs. I don't see this. I think he's in on the project. And you cannot have that much fun beating Manchester City and then suddenly go, I'm done with this because of a 1-0 midweek defeat after all of that exertion.
Where's the frustration,
against
though,
against
isn't
Burnley? Yeah, it is. It is.
But it's the frustration of essentially undoing what was a really, really amazing result. But yeah, I agree. I don't think he's going to... I think there's perhaps an element of a crisis being manufactured here rather than one actually unfolding.
I think Leeds are going to defend very, very deep in this football match because they haven't got much of a hope otherwise, I don't think. They're just playing very poorly.
Well,
if they defend deep, it won't be because Bielsa's told them to.
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, they just...
But you think, I know he's got a system, but he needs to be a bit more pragmatic when teams that can really tear you apart will pace... With a midfield maestro such as Harry Kane on form.
That's true. But it is a big weekend for the relegation battle because Brentford face Newcastle United, Peter.
Yeah.
Now that is a big one.
Might we see Christian Eriksen in this match, maybe?
Ooh, yeah.
He's got a couple of goals in training, I think, training match in midweek. I mean, it almost doesn't matter the result of this match when if he manages to get on the pitch. What a story!
Yeah, that is true, and I totally take the spirit of that. But Brentford fans will want to win. Let's be clear about that.
As will Newcastle.
They need
to
win.
Other than you,
we all want to win.
Everybody wants to win,
and we want Christian Eriksen to win as well.
Yeah, well, so, Newcastle have got two games in hand on Brentford. Brentford are 4 points above the relegation zone, but they've lost 5 of their last 6.
Yeah.
You know, their form has been stinking, and because of their early season kind of excitement and the 3-3 against Liverpool, we remember, and Ivan Toney playing like he just doesn't give a damn and so on.
Now he's playing like he doesn't give a damn.
And by the way, I would like to say that the man formerly with the record of the most goals scored in a championship season, Ivan Toney, because Alexander Mitrovic broke that this week. 33 goals. 33 goals.
Not even March.
Come on. Anyway, yes, Brentford. They're the side that people think, well, they'll be okay because we remember. And then you start thinking of some of the results and you think, well, actually, that was a number of months ago now.
Mm.
And they've suddenly drifted back into it as well. So crucial one down the bottom this weekend, of course. And Norwich go to Southampton tonight.
Mm.
Can Norwich give themselves a fighting chance? We shall see. Burnley travel to Palace. It's all to play for. All to play for. Right, everybody, before we go to Betway's Four to Score, yes, I am aware of the Sven-Göran Eriksson story. And we're going to talk about that now because a lot of you got in touch and I do appreciate that greatly. But Sven-Göran Eriksson, of course, was appointed Notts County Director of Football back in 2009. And we've spoken about Bellamy in 2007, so why not indulge ourselves a little bit more? Because Sven revealed this week that he was asked to help fix the 2010 World Cup draw for North Korea while he was on a business trip on behalf of the club. He travelled to Pyongyang with Russell King, who helped recruit him for the job, to discuss a deal to mine North Korea's mineral reserves.
He's got to wonder why he's there straight away there.
Well,
why is he involved in that? Why are Notts County involved in that?
It became apparent, though, didn't it? Because old Svenigan said, one day they came to me and said, you have to please come to North Korea with us. It's important. I said, no, I don't want to go to North Korea. I love how literally he is when he speaks.
Yeah.
And he often refers to himself in the third person when they say it. And he says, I knew a person working for the government in England. I asked, should I not go there? And they came back and said, Sven, you have to come. It's extremely important to the football club. I felt I didn't want to go, but it was important for the football club.
It's important for the football club. I can't come. They're very puritanical out there, and I have certain tastes.
Yeah, a man of my liberal capacity will not appreciate being told what to do and where to go.
I love that the North Korean regime have had meetings about this, who to target.
Yeah,
Sven's come top of that list.
Oh, totally. Well, he revealed that when he arrived, North Korean representatives said, can you please help us? Of course I can help you, if I can, I said. I thought they wanted balls or boots or something like that. And they said, we want to have a simple draw in the World Cup. You know, they want an easy draw.
Yeah.
And Sven said he refused, and he said that was, I guess, the main reason why I was invited.
I mean, he's not a close-up magician. Like, I mean, I'm sure he's good with his hands.
Well,
but changing the balls at the last minute, I don't know how you would sort of do that as Sven Göran Eriksson. The World Cup. What an easy draw. You're North Korea, there aren't anyone.
Sven's having
easy
a little draws. Fiddle with the balls. There you are, lads. Don't worry. I'm on it.
Sven's fingered the draw.
But you're right, though. Why did they deduce? He's our man. Who's like the kind of...
What's the mineral rights situation?
International man
Kasper
of mystery.
Kasper Schmeichel digging away with his big hands. He was there at Notts County at the time, wasn't he? Him was, and Sol Campbell.
Yeah, but on the international scene, he's not got the clout. Not got the clout or the respect, damn it all. But anyway, what a story that was. Thank you very much for everybody who said it. And thank you to Sven. Right, it's time for Betway's Four to Score. Entry to Betway's Four to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's Four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game one, Manchester United versus Watford. It's happening at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Jim, who have you gone for?
I've gone for Emmanuel Dennis because he's in form. The teams down the bottom are starting to, you know, just not panic a bit, but they get a bit of momentum at this time, don't they? You get some unexpected results, but I expect that Man United will still go on to win the game. But I can envision this.
Yes.
From a crystal ball.
Well, they need some momentum after being hammered by Crystal Palace, Watford. Mm-hmm. And Dennis could be the man to help out Roy, the boy Hodgson's team. Game two, Brighton versus Aston Villa, Saturday at 3 p.m. Pete, who have you gone for?
The dunk truck, the dunkster, the donkey boy.
Yeah?
Lewis Dunk, header, lovely, smashing. He's back from a red.
The donkey boy
and
himself.
And he's angry.
Love that. Game three, Everton versus Manchester City is on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. Andy has said this.
Hello, Andy here.
Hi, Andy. Oh,
score,
sorry.
Bet is from Everton versus Manchester City. Going to be super exciting. Of course, City don't have an incredible record at Goodison, which makes me slightly tempted, especially as they've had some good performances under Frank Lampard at home. But come on, it's got to be Manchester City. I'm going to take lovely little Bernardo Silva because it's always lovely little Bernardo Silva.
Ah, lovely little
See
Bernardo.
See you later, Andy. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Enjoy exploring your underground cave system.
Bernardo Silva, Andy's gone for in that one. In game four, West Ham versus Wolves, Sunday at 2 p.m. Am I going to be the one to bring it home for the first time ever for the Football Ramble? Well, I've gone for Raul Jimenez, as often was the case with Wolves previously. I think he's due a goal. Wolves will need to bounce back from their defeat at Arsenal. And who better to lead the charge than Mr. Jimenez himself? So there we are. That's what we've got. In Manchester United versus Watford, Jim picked Emmanuel Dennis. Brighton versus Aston Villa, Pete's gone for Lewis Dunk. Everton versus Manchester City, Andy's gone for Bernardo Silva. West Ham versus Wolves, I've gone for Raul Jimenez. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. You can play for free at betway.com/four to score. Further T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18 and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. Right, everybody. The key is in the lock to Friday. It's going to be turned after this.
I'm filling while Marcus fingers the iPad. I'm filling. What button will he press?
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
Everybody, it's Marcus's game. Ugh. And it's, according to Jimmy the Bee, it's a bottom of the table clash.
Oh, Jimmy the Bee.
Jimmy the Bee.
Jimmy the Bee.
Jimmy the Bee.
Yeah.
Facts.
You're Jimmy the C, aren't you, Jim?
Oi.
In a way.
Jimmy the C word.
Yes. Pete Donaldson.
Sledging.
Pete Donaldson.
Come on.
Against Jim Campbell. Of course,
I'm ready, Freddy.
It's Marcus's game. That means we do managers. Okay. And remember, the rules are if they have managed an international side, it counts towards the total.
Okay.
If they've managed a B team or under 21s, it doesn't count. But
if they've been to North Korea,
and if you can guess the club, then you win the game.
If you're a caretaker interim, it counts as well.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Okay. Exactly, cool. Brother man. Exactly. Right. By my calculations, Pete Donaldson is up first.
Thank you.
For this one. Now, ready, gentlemen. This man. Still managing. Only four teams.
Oh,
that he's managed. Lordy. It is Dean Smith.
Okay.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Let's have a beard. Deedly deedly doo.
Me?
Yes.
One. I can't remember any. What do you want me to do?
I want you to bid two.
Well, I won't be able to do it. Okay. All right, okay, I'll bid two.
Are you sure?
Yeah, fine.
I'm going to bid three.
Okay.
I should use my piece of paper, actually, because yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, you've bid now.
Yeah. Right, Jim, can I hear three from you?
You can.
Right. Yeah, all right, cool. Can I hear all four from you, Peter?
No, you bloody can't.
Okay. Right, Jim, three teams that Dean Smith has managed. Off
Norwich City. Aston Villa. Yeah. Brentford.
Well played, sir. I would have forgotten Brentford, actually.
Yeah. Who was the fourth?
Walsall.
Ah.
Yeah, I'd forgotten Brentford, actually.
Yeah. I panicked and just said one. Thing is, I just don't have confidence in my soul.
I know.
You know, I'm low on confidence.
I know, but today's the day where the confidence truck comes rolling in to Pete Town.
Yeah.
Jelly days, though.
Take a moment.
Take a breath. Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Right, Jim, you're up first.
Mm-hmm.
This man has managed seven teams.
Okay.
Your friend of mine, Andre Villas-Boas.
Okay.
Villas-Boas. Seven teams. Interesting. Quite the career. When he's not driving.
I'm going to...
What you got, Jim?
I'm going to go for four.
Ooh, Jesus Christ. There's no way I'm going to get better than that. I'd like you to name them, Jim.
Okay. Well, Pete Donaldson wants you to name them.
Taking control of this game.
Okay. Jim Campbell. Four teams that Andre Villas-Boas has managed. Far away.
So, Chelsea, of course. Believe he came from Porto. He, of course, managed the Middlesex Lilywhites. known as Tottenham Hotspur.
Thank you.
And Zenit.
There you go. Well
good
played.
Stuff.
Zenit St. Petersburg, yeah. Started at Academica, as I believe it's possibly pronounced. Porto, Chelsea, Tottenham Hotspur, Zenit St. Petersburg, Shanghai, SIPG, and Marseille, quite recently.
Ah.
Marseille.
Would it please the court if I said that I knew the Chinese one?
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Ah, it was for your bid?
No, much lower than that.
Okay.
Three,
presumably.
Yeah.
Well, there we are. Right, Pete, you need this.
Yes, please.
You need this.
I always do at this point on a Friday.
And I... you've beaten Kate Mason before, who was recently the lineal champion.
Yeah. I mean,
okay,
a defensive performance from Donaldson, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, but that's fine. You've got to build on
the
small
victories. She played herself in many ways.
You've got to build on the small victories. Rookie-dokie. You can do this. And I think that you've got this one. This man has managed five teams in his time. Ruud Gullit. Ruud Gullit.
Five teams.
Aye. Is that a clue? Oh, it's the gnashing of teeth moment, isn't it, in this game? It gets you. It does get you. Mm. We're going to need a bid, Peter. What have you got?
I got four.
Bloody hell!
Four.
Yeah, they're not right, though, are they? I'm having a go.
He's having a go, everybody. I'll tell you what, I respect this.
Thank you.
I do respect... Well,
thank
actually,
you.
I haven't heard the answers yet.
I would like to hear them.
Yeah. Personally. You're going to go all five?
I am not.
I mean, all five, I would be stunned. Four, I would be very impressed.
Oh, well, I'm in big trouble, aren't I?
Yeah, okay. Right. Let's start with the ones you know at least.
All right, yeah.
Far away.
Chelsea.
There you go. Oh, sorry. Oh, two.
Two of them.
Player manager. So Chelsea, yes.
And he was a very good player manager. Can I have another ding, please? Newcastle.
There's two.
Netherlands.
Netherlands? When did he manage the Netherlands?
I presumed he rocked
Jim
up at
Campbell
the...
Wins.
Ajax. I can't fucking remember. I thought he was at the Netherlands for a bit.
Yeah. No, he was. I'm just playing the music.
Well done, Jim.
Cheers, mate.
I mean, he played for the Netherlands, but he wasn't player manager.
Are you sure?
I'm very sure.
He didn't have a little clipboard in his back pocket.
Feyenoord. And a team that you've been to see, LA Galaxy.
Did he manage LA Galaxy?
LA Galaxy and Terek Grozny, that was the one.
Right.
Well, if he ever comes up again...
You'll be ready for him.
I'll be ready for him.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Okay, well, Jim's won 3-0, yep. but we like to do the others, you know, a little bit of exhibition stuff here. Your previous thinking may come into play here. Jim Campbell, I'd like you to name... I mean, all 11, if you could, of Ronald Koeman's teams that he's managed. If you don't name all 11, then you get nothing. You can have a bid, though. That's how the game works. So, yes, Koeman. Interesting one. There's definitely goals to be had in this one, but there could be some dangerous little alleyways that you may want to go to.
11. Yeah. 11 clubs. That is a lot more than I would have expected. 11 teams.
Let's be clear about that.
I'm going to be quite conservative and just go for the four. Because I've already won.
If you've already won, you should push the boat out a bit.
Yeah,
remember Vish when he who was it? Dick Advocaat? This is very much. I think you could really.
Yeah, but I'm looking at goal difference, mate.
No, there's no goal difference. The way Jimmy the Bee does it, you've got a whitewash 3-0 win.
Yeah.
So you're fine. Goal difference, that's in the bag.
Who's bidding? Me or you?
I'm just saying that the key is in the lock to the weekend and I'm about to open it. Do you want the listeners to just kind of stroll through it or do you want them to sprint towards Friday evening?
I want them to do whatever they feel comfortable with.
Have they got the keys or not?
Which is what I'm going to do.
Which
and I'm going to bid four.
Wanker. Pete, come on.
I've only got three, so I'm going to bid three.
No, you can't.
Which is lower than what Jim's got, so Jim has to go, I'm afraid. That's how this game works.
Can I let him do that?
Can it be seven combined? Can we all join hands and have a point each? Okay, Jim, four teams that Ronald Koeman has managed.
Everton. Southampton. Netherlands. Barcelona.
I had three of them.
Started at Vitesse, Ajax, of course, Benfica, PSV Eindhoven, Valencia, AZ Alkmaar, back to Feyenoord, Southampton, Everton, Netherlands, and Barcelona. I said back to Feyenoord, though. He didn't go back to Feyenoord. That was a standalone. So there we are. 4-0 to Jim. Mm. Now we've got the last one. Mm. Bit of respectability here, Peter.
Yep.
You go first.
Never been in front of it before?
No, absolutely not. But now's your chance.
Yep.
And what a chance it is. Six teams this man has managed.
Yes.
We spoke about him recently on the pod. Paul Ince.
Oh, Incy Mincy Paulie Spider.
Tricky one.
God.
But had you have listened the other day, you'll know all the answers. And there's a reason why we spoke about him the other day.
Yeah, I can't bloody remember now.
It's almost like he, came back on the scene.
Yeah, I know, but I can't remember which team. Do I? Yes, I do.
Let's have a bid, Peter. Come on. The key's in the lock. I'm about to turn it. What have you got?
Two.
Two? I think actually that's all right because unless you've been digging around recently in the career of Paul Ince as manager, you probably won't have more than two.
I had been. I was on that show, annoyingly, I did look at his bloody Wikipedia.
What the team is that he's taken over.
Jim, can you do three?
I'm going to go for three.
Oh! Right then.
Can't do more than three. Go on, Jim.
Jimmy, for the 5-0.
Make me proud. Okay,
so, Wolves.
It's 4-1, everybody.
Yes,
4-1. He played for Wolves. He never managed them.
Oh.
Yeah, shove it up your bollocks, Jimmy.
I thought the shoot one was Wolves. I was going to. What were the other teams?
Macclesfield Town is where he started. Milton Keynes Dons is then where he went to. The shoot one was Blackburn Rovers.
I was going
to
go Wolves, MK Dons, Netherlands.
And gift
Ajax.
One, but I did it
Shanghai
wrong.
Shanghai SIPG.
There we are. Notts County, Blackpool, and of course. Reading, where he is now as interim manager.
Notts County has had a wonderfully interesting history over the past 20 years.
Really beautiful.
Money came. Money wasn't actually there, turns out.
No, money didn't come.
Money disappeared.
Money said it was there. And it turned out money wasn't there.
Yeah.
And then everybody
went
home.
Crypto?
Yeah.
Jim, people are going to be on crypto because of you.
Yes.
You're so influential. You're an influencer.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry. He certainly is as well. Right then. Well, there we are. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's an absolute pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, the key is turned. The door is open. Friday can begin. The weekend is here.
Ready for the weekend.
Oi, 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 oi. There we are. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show, as I just said. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Peace.
And have a lovely weekend, you beauties.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Globe
Total Body Set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial Set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.